It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Also massively joined by a ridiculous heat wave, but it's not a hot thing we're talking about. It's something that's tepid, boring, and very cold, which is the Resident Evil show on Netflix. Now, I've managed to get through the entire thing, and I say managed to get through because most people that I know have bailed on this show. Josh is thankfully six episodes in, which puts him about 6 hours into this thing. And we're just going to sort of break down pretty much everything it gets wrong, because there are a few things that are all right, that are a bit sort of not as bad, let's say. There are a few references to the overall canon, the place that it goes, sans spoilers, does eventually link back into the overall Resident Evil story, but the way they get there, the way that it's written, the overall tone, the use of the villains, just for me, it squanders every last part of what should be a very easy IP to adapt. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, listen, man, like, I was a captive audience for this TV show. Everyone was saying it was bad. You know, I was getting messages from you saying, Josh, it's abysmal, don't watch it. But I was like, no. I like the Paul W.S. Anderson Resident Evil movies. Same. You know, I like the idea of them kind of doing a weird sequel to the games and using some of the old characters and kind of like remixing events that you know and creating a new story. I was totally fine with that. However, getting into it from the very first scene, I think you just realize, man, this is incredibly shoddy in terms of its filmmaking, in terms of its scripting, and... You know, the TV show is split into two timelines, right? You have one set in New Raccoon City, which is kind of like the quote-unquote present day, and you are with the kind of two daughters of Albert Wesker. And then you have the future timeline where you follow Jade Wesker, you know, one of the daughters. It is kind of post-apocalyptic. It's kind of Walking Dead. It's kind of Resident Evil Extinction. And for me, man, the post-apocalyptic sections of this TV show are... Like, I'm just sat there in awe at how they got it so wrong. It just so, like, genuinely, and I don't take any joy in saying this because I wanted to enjoy it, but it feels kind of inept at times.
Right. I think for me, it's just that it's so boring. And one of the issues that they have, to talk about, you know, the fact that the overall, the way the show is structured, you have the multiple timelines, like you said, a whole bunch of stuff set in New Raccoon City and I think 2022 or whatever it is. And then we jump to 2036 for the post-apocalyptic stuff. One of the major mysteries that we spend forever on is what happened in the past, or what caused this thing in the future. And it's like, even if you were brand new to Resident Evil, the setup of evil, you know, scientist lab thing, you can pretty much connect those dots to be like, well, a virus probably created a zombie outbreak. Like, it's not a thing to hang a show on in terms of a mystery element, unless you want to reveal it at the very end, unless you want to call it, you know, maybe you call the show Umbrella, and the entire way through we're set in, you know, this 2022 timeline, and you don't reveal that it's actually the Umbrella Corps until the end or something. Maybe that's what the characters need to try and find out. And then you get the reveal at the end that actually the character's dad is called Albert Wesker and it's called Umbrella. And then maybe you smash cut to the future and then season two goes from there. I just, the way that they set stuff up, it's inertia. Like you said, it's inept in regards to it feeling like Walking Dead or post-apocalypse stuff 101, but the actual driving force to stick with it just isn't there because, like you said to me in the chat before you were recording, like you're so far ahead as an audience member to the characters, which is one of the worst things that you can do as a narrative device because you're just waiting for them to catch up and they never get there.
Yeah, totally. I think the decision to split it into two timelines just failed across the board because, you know, I don't hate it as much as you do. I do think it has some redeeming qualities.
I don't think I hate it. I just think it's just messy, just empty. Like, I mean, by the time you get to the end of it, it's like, okay, that's kind of fun. And I think it would be a cool sci-fi mystery show if it just had that twist and it was its own thing. But yeah, like, I don't hate it. I just think it's just messy and empty. It's soulless. Yeah.
Okay, for me, like, I do think a lot of it is exactly what you just said there. However, there were, you know, intriguing elements that were making me enjoy certain parts. You know, there is the moment in the first episode where things kind of kick off in the New Raccoon City segment where the two daughters break into Umbrella and kind of a lot of stuff goes down. It's quite a nicely paced segment. There are a couple of good jumps in there, and the action is, like, nicely shot. However, like you said there, they stretch out the implications of that scene for pretty much the entire show afterwards in terms of that timeline. And it is so kind of dragged out. It is so lethargic in the kind of drama that it's setting up that it just kind of like stops the momentum dead every single time it had something interesting to say or it did something interesting with its characters or with the Resident Evil lore. Like you get something equally as dumb that just drops it dead. And that might literally just be switching to the future timeline, right? It might just be like losing the momentum of the episode of the story you're in to go to something else kind of completely unrelated. It's not necessarily like the flashbacks that you're getting to New Raccoon City are even tied to what's happening in the present day. Like they start doing that in episode one, but then it just kind of feels random. It just feels like you've got these two different shows fighting for, you know, dominance.
Well, I don't know where, because it's not like you said, there is Resident Evil Extinction, the old Mila Jovovich movie, the Paul W.S. Anderson movie, where we deal with what happened if the virus took over completely and then it's the apocalypse stuff. The games have never really gone there. Like it's just like it's like one thing that keeps them interesting in more Resident Evil is that you set it in cities and different areas, labs and whatever it is, in terms of trying to stimmy that stuff and not let it take over. And once you are going to go to the apocalyptic future where the virus has taken over, you need to do something cool with that. Like you need to do something that's interesting and fun or whatever. And it's just they don't do anything with that. Like you sort of it largely plays out the way that you would expect. It just doesn't really have a reason to exist. It feels like a weird dragged out thing, which I was going to mention that it takes about 4.5 hours for anything interesting to happen. Like a lot of people, I was talking to Dan Durkin, shout out to the comics channel, and he bailed after the first episode. And I was just saying, I was like, yeah, nothing really happens for about 4.5 episodes. It's about halfway through episode four where you get, I think it's in that episode where you get the puzzle stuff, where they finally start tying it into Resident Evil ephemera, stuff that you would like from Resident Evil in terms of the way that Wesker has set his house up and the way that the characters have to figure stuff out. It's like a Resident Evil puzzle. And that's like, oh, that's cool. That reminds me of Resident Evil. That feels like more like Resident Evil. And they start drip feeding stuff that relates back to the old games. That's the best stuff in there. I kind of wish they either had front loaded that stuff as some sort of maybe one thing that the audience gets to wink and nod at, but the characters need to figure it out or whatever. But I don't know what you think of when you think back of the overall structure, like if you were more engaged by the early stuff, but tone, we should talk about the villains as well, but I guess overall structure wise, as a TV show, it just barely works.
That's it, man. Like, I wouldn't recommend the show to anyone, but I am continuing to watch it because there are some intriguing elements in there, like I've mentioned, that are keeping me hooked. You know, like this show hits you with a cliffhanger every episode. And for me and my lizard brain, because of how much I love Resident Evil, I want to see how these twists play out. Like you said, I want to see how it's, you know, connected to those older games and the older lore. And I guess we should talk about, you know, before we jump into the villains, maybe about how it does tie itself into Resident Evil, because a lot of the criticism about this is obviously like, well, it has nothing to do with Resident Evil. This isn't Albert Wesker as we know him as a kind of, you know, super villain, as a super villain. You know, he's a family man this time around. He's kind of he's got these kids, he's working with Umbrella, he seems kind of nice. I actually do like what they're doing with Wesker in here. The most captivating scenes are when the actor Lance Reddick is on screen. Like, you know, he does bring that menace, he brings that kind of power to him that's bubbling under the surface of this otherwise quote-unquote family man. I like the mystery they spin around him, and I do like it when they tie it into the Resident Evil lore. Like, without spoilers, the kind of references to the events of previous games do keep you guessing as a longtime fan as to how this could possibly, you know, work with those games in mind, because they seem so different on the surface. And that mystery did work. What you said there with the puzzles around the Albert Wesker house, again, that was kind of, in a way, the most authentic Resident Evil translation I've seen in a while. Because, you know, you have literal puzzles from the game being implemented in a quite engaging way. But those scenes, man, those scenes are all in isolation. Like, I could watch hours and hours of Lance Reddick as Wesker, but the show is so much more than that. And the supporting characters around him are kind of so flat, and the acting for those supporting characters is so flat that it makes it hard to recommend at all. And it's just that kind of wonkiness across the board in terms of its quality, in terms of its tone, that really makes it so kind of crushing, because I do think there's something in there. I do think the premise could have been interesting, but it's got all of this stuff on top. Considering it's only 8 episodes, it's amazing how much extra stuff they have in there that doesn't work and isn't really neat.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, that's my thing about it, like, it failing as a TV show. Like, yes, they throw in the cliffhanger, which sort of gives you that response of like, okay, I'll see what happens next. But even that first clip, I think it's the very first episode cliffhanger, where it's just Jade jumping off a building and it's like, oh, what's going to happen then? Well, she lands, but just, and then it continues. Like, there's not really a thing. And there's a really fun, that's the thing you were mentioning about how, you know, the basic premise is, what if Wesker had a family, which on paper is great. Like, you take a one-dimensional villain who is known for being as over the top as possible, especially Resident Evil 5. Especially Resident Evil 5, and especially how he's portrayed in the Mia Jovovich movies, and what if that dude had a family, and flesh that stuff out. And there is more. You're about to get the big twist in episode 7, so like, there is more stuff that they do with the overall Resident Evil lore. But my argument would be that it takes far too long to get there. Like, it's, you need to spend a literal day with this show, 6-7 hours, the better part of your day, getting to the point where you would care about the thing that they're doing. And even the thing that they're doing, as much as I love Lance Reddick, I don't think it visually pays off. I think it looks quite cringe. I think they do a few things that just, it's kind of fun, and like, you know, there's a tone to Resident Evil overall that is very campy and over the top, and they're having fun with the gore and the characters and the acting, and I love that stuff. That's what makes Resident Evil just incredible. But for me, that they it's like the opposite of front loading. They end load stuff with a level of fun and charm that should have been there beforehand, not this dragged out stoic sensibility that is jarringly meshing with a random dance number from Evelyn, or a random joke about Zootopia porn or whatever it is. Like, that stuff, it doesn't work. It takes way too long. And it's not that those elements aren't worth highlighting. And like I said, you'll get there, and anyone who's stuck with it a long time will know exactly what I'm talking about. but I don't think it saves it. I think that so many people will bail before then, and it's just that every element leading up to there is so empty anyway.
That's it, man. I think the show is just kind of fundamentally broken in terms of how it has structured itself, in terms of how it has relayed this story. Like, I do think it could have been good, but, you know, to split the timelines like this, to have such a wonky tone and a weird mystery, it doesn't work overall. Like, you know, talking about kind of like the humor that you mentioned there, like, that is some of the cringiest stuff ever. And that sucks, because I genuinely am buying into the family drama of the Weskers. I think the actors who play the central three Wesker family members are great, at least in the past 10 scenes, you know, the new Raccoon City scenes. Right. I think the younger actresses are like really committed to this kind of bad material, but they sell it, you know, they do a good job. It's just when it kind of breaks it, because you have this cool dynamic and then you have like these villains, like, you know, this Scottish umbrella employee from the future who gets all of these like cringe one-liners, man, and it's just the most unfunny stuff in the entire world, and he kind of like set him up as a badass, but then he's kind of pathetic, and, you know, he gets these weird scenes where he's like headshotting the chainsaw zombie from Resident Evil 5, and it's just it's all over the place. So every time I do get a good scene between, you know, Billy and Jade Wesker, I then cut to the future and have to sit through this doofus, you know, you know, performing some of the worst CGI'd kills in Resident Evil history, and that's a shame. Like, I come to this program, you know, enjoying, really kind of loving the Paul W.S. Anderson movies, and they crap all over the source material, right? They do not care about the source material. They will take your favorite characters and, like, headshot them right in front of you. Like, they don't have any reverence for the games.
At least they're having fun.
But they're at least having fun, and at least they're kind of giving you this mindless action and mindless spectacle that is an enjoyable thing to watch. This kind of makes changes to the lore, which I think are interesting, but it doesn't have that same finesse when it comes to executing those ideas or executing those action sequences. And as you mentioned at the very beginning, that just makes ultimately for a boring show.
Yeah, and I just, like I said, I think that by the time you have the big crazy twist, you can sort of like step back and be like, oh, okay, like, that's what you were going for, and that's what that is, and we'll put it back on the shelf and I'll just never look at it again. But it's just, like I said, it struggles to exist. Those Resident Evil movies that we just cited, the Jovovich, I forget how many there are, five, six?
There's a fair few. I want to say six.
And they were, they might not have direct adaptations of the lore and everything, but they were picking and choosing what they wanted to showcase, whether it was a character or a big zombie dog or whatever it was. And like, it was fun enough. It worked. Like, it was a B-movie camp, which is what Resident Evil should be or can be. And it's just like, there was always something to find in those movies that was enjoyable. For me, there's not a single thing here that's enjoyable other than just on paper. Well, I mean, yes, you can highlight maybe a specific scene, like the puzzle scene, or like I said, the twist reveal scene. That's like, oh, that's a thing, I guess. You did something. But it just doesn't coalesce. And the fact that you have to go in and sort of surgically try and extract the parts that work, I think is only endemic of just how much doesn't work. You shouldn't even be thinking this way if a show works. And it's 100%. Just like, you know, having to sort of like sift through the rubble and be like, oh, here's one bit that's not too bad. Like, it's such an abysmal failure at that point. But yeah, I'd be so fascinated by what happened behind the scenes, because I don't even think there really is a love for Resident Evil lore. It feels like someone had an idea for a show, and somewhere along the way it was like, well, we can bolt Resident Evil onto this and just kind of make this stuff work. Like I said, I think the Resident Evil IP and all of its connotations and associations only drag it down, only hold it back. I think it would be so much better if it was just a Netflix zombie show and you reveal stuff later. I do know what you're going to say, that the Resident Evil stuff enhances it, which it does. But at the same time, I think overall it kind of just holds it back. I think it would change expectations in a way that might keep people watching. But at the same time, it's just that damn boring that maybe people would drop off anyway.
This is it, man. Like, in its current form, I think the show is like a 4 out of 10. And I think if you take out the Resident Evil stuff in there, genuinely, like, 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, I think it does lose everything. Like, what's keeping me involved are the mysteries surrounding the Resident Evil lore, because I do think they're well set up overall. And yeah, there are some kind of fan servicey moments where you see an enemy that hasn't been adapted yet in live action and you get a good pop from it. But I do think long term, it is doing interesting things with the Resident Evil mythos. It just doesn't have that kind of level of execution to make it worthwhile. And like you said, you know, it does feel like every episode you're picking through the rubbish to try and find that one worthwhile scene. And that's sustaining me because I'm a crazy Resident Evil super fan, but like I couldn't imagine, this is what I can't imagine. I can't imagine like some random person who's never played a Resident Evil game, has never seen any of the movies, putting this show on and getting anything out of it.
So well, that was the thing. I
don't think you do.
No. Well, I did a tweet just like, I was curious about that. And some people did respond saying, thanks for resetting your expectations. I'm not a Resident Evil fan. I've not played the games before and I can just enjoy it for what it is, which is sort of a light mystery show around, you know, around two different timelines and what happens between them and stuff. And so maybe there's something there, but I just, yeah, I think if you're anything of a Resident Evil fan, if you have any expectations at all, or just any sort of want for a satisfying delivery of a mystery, or whatever, any semblance of satisfaction at all, it's not really here. So yeah, I'm curious what the hell this show is overall production wise. I hope that we get some stories going forward as to what happened in regards to how this came together and just how it ended up the way that it did. But yeah, any closing thoughts, Mr. JP?
I just can't believe that I have had Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, the reboot movie, which came out at the end of last year, and now a Netflix Resident Evil TV series, and they have both been worse than the Paul W.S. Anderson movies. Like, I love those movies, but they're not good, you know? There is a great adaptation of Resident Evil to be made, and we've had three attempts from three different, you know, filmmaking teams, and all of them, for my money, has failed. You know, you were talking there about wanting to get some stories out of this production. I genuinely think that the be-all and end-all of it, in why this is so different, why this is such a strange approach, is because we had the movie, you know, Welcome to Raccoon City, that was supposed to kick off a franchise, and that was the faithful adaptation. That was the movie that kind of took the first two games and brought the characters in and was supposed to do that world justice. In my opinion, it didn't, but that only left this TV show the ability to kind of create this new sequel thing that apparently nobody really wants anyway. So it's like, whoever's in charge of this brand, whoever's in charge of this brand in live action just needs to stop messing up and just do one good thing, please. Just one good thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like I said, I think there would have been a way to do this. Maybe you announce the show and it's called Biohazard, and all of a sudden there's interviews going like, is that what this is? And the creators get to go, no, we're just influenced by it. It's just about a future city, and people wouldn't connect those dots. Like I said, it would be something towards the end. You need to do something like that, and then maybe on the day of release you tweet something out saying it's U Day or whatever they call it in the lore, where like everything kicks off, and it's like you do something like that. But yeah, as it stands, it's a major misfire. And rolling in the fact that the movie that came out, was that this year as well? Was that the end of last year?
December 2021, if I recall, right. Scott.
Yeah, Welcome to Raccoon City was also just a weird tonal misfire and a weird mess in regards to adapting stuff too. It kind of makes you fall back on the Jovovich stuff as one of the, I don't think it's the closest that we've got to an adaptation, but at least it gets the fun part right of Resident Evil. But let us know what you think down in the comments below. How far did you get in Netflix's Resident Evil? And what do you think of it if you've seen that big twist towards the end overall? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.